Thank you, Brother Tommy. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to Psalms 42. Psalms 42. Psalms 42. The title of the message is Longing for Loving. You know, we were created to love because God loved us, and it says that the Bible teaches us that when we were created in His image. And then, of course, we understand that God said He created man to have fellowship with. And therefore, we also look for that same fellowship, both from Him as well as other human beings, and no one wants to be left out. We all enjoy being a part, being able to have those who are we care about close to us. And although we understand that this life is a temporal one, it is comforting, as Tommy's last song talked about how beautiful heaven must be. And one day, we will have the opportunity to see all of those who have gone before us, that of our loved ones that know the Lord, and what a reunion that will be. And often reminded of that, although Revelations is always looked at being one of prophecy, but they're so rich in the book of Revelation about what heaven is like and what it will be like, and the fact that we rejoin with our loved ones, and Paul spoke of that as well by the inspiration of the Spirit. Here in Psalms, David, you know, until we leave this life, unfortunately, we often say, and I brought that we have to go through trials and tribulations. But understand, folks, without the trials and the tribulations, we would not appreciate the good things, because we wouldn't know anything but the good things. So much then, if you think in your own life and in our daily lives, that we take for granted. We talked about an accident that took place and took the lives of six people. But yet, how often do we take for granted? We jump in our truck, we go, we're going to run to town to pick parts up, or wherever we may go, we take for granted we're just going up here to the store to get this, and we're coming back home to do whatever we need to do. And yet, oftentimes, there's a whole different turn before we make that small little trip that we were thinking about. And so, we must always be ready with spiritually, because it comes at one time, and that is while we are living that we have the opportunity to accept our Lord and Savior for all of eternity. Here in the 42nd chapter of Psalms, David, as you well remember, probably one of the people in the Bible that is most known throughout, is King David, and that the first thing people will learn, we learned as a child, is about David and Goliath, and how that he slew Goliath, and the fact that he was a shepherd boy and the big armies and all could not defeat, and yet his whole faith was placed in God. And then we know that David was anointed by God to be the king of Israel. And of course, Saul was on the throne, and Saul got within his own pride, and he actually sought to kill David for a number of years, and David had to run. And during that time, you have to understand that David had to leave his home. He had to leave all of the loved ones that he cared about. He was on the run pretty much on his own and lonely. And through that, many of the Psalms are written. And here in Psalm 42, David pours out his heart, as oftentimes you and I come upon trials and tribulations that we don't understand, and it seems like, You know, we've always been told the Lord will never put more on you than what you can bear. And, you know, I can even speak to that from a personal deal. It's like, Lord, I don't know what you think I can bear, but I'm kind of getting to where I think I can't bear no more. And we need a break here a little bit. And so 42 speaks of that, but yet, in a way, here as we read through this here in just a moment, he relates it to what he has seen. And one of the things in the first, it talks about deer. And, of course, being in Atlanta, we understand and see deer many, many times. And but as we'll go through it, and then we'll continue on. Psalms 42, if you're able, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. In Psalms 42 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls, and your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to the God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of oppression of the enemy? And with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. You may be seated. We are not sure exactly at what point in time that this psalm of David's life was written. We do understand that he was in a low point of his life. But looking as it starts here, he says, as the deer pants for the water of brooks, so pants my soul for you. When you really take time to understand about deer that aren't fenced in the wild, those deer, when they become thirsty, will travel miles looking for water. And they will continually do that until they find it or they die. And as I thought about that, and I've seen those deers run, and of course right now with all of the filling of our tanks and streams and wet weather creeks and rivers, there's plenty of water. And I thought about the picture here that David is portraying. There's times in our life that we don't have to search for that water. Everything is on a high. Everything is running good. And David had that. He had defeated the giant and was the hero, and everything was going good. He was there with his family as he comes down later and says that they went to the temple and they praised the Lord and he was with the multitudes. But yet now he finds himself all outside by himself. Even though you and I might be surrounded by people, oftentimes we come into that same situation that we find ourselves feeling alone, being a time that no one understands really where we're at or what we're feeling or going through. And sometimes it may be physical illness. Sometimes It's been grief for our families or a time of loss. Whatever the case may be that we're looking at, but we feel like we're all alone. And to be honest, it's kind of our natural point that we take is we withdraw oftentimes from people. And we want to be alone. And yet that, in fact, is not the right thing to do when we take this withdrawal, not only from people, but many times we'll withdraw from the Lord, always asking the why. Folks, it is not always ours to understand. We've talked about this before in Isaiah and Jeremiah. The Lord speaks and he says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts." But the thing that he follows that up with is that he says, "My thoughts towards you are for good and for peace." And so when we come to that point that we're learning and yearning for some type of hope that we can have in our life, just as David here, notice he talks about what he's having and he remembers those things and the times when they were good. And he says, "Yet why is my soul cast down?" And he comes to the point of verse 6. He says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and the heights of Hermon and from the hill Mizar." Always remember there's one, no matter what all takes place, there's one who is always with us. And what we oftentimes don't realize is before we know our Lord and Savior personally, God is there. I can look back on my life in certain instances and remember the times and see what was taking place. Of course, you know, rearview mirror hindsight's always 20/20, right? We don't see it at the time, but we look back and we see, you know, it wasn't by chance that I got out of it. It was by the hand of God. And that's the only way we got through it, even though we didn't recognize him or see him. And yet, when we come to know him, that longing, and we understand when we're lost, we're searching for something, and the world today is searching. So often we don't understand or even know what we're searching for, but we're looking something to feel that God spot that God put in us as he made us. That point of love, a love that passes all understanding, a fulfilling of what satisfies us from within, whether we're with a multitude or we're by ourselves, whether the times are up or the times are low. We know that he is there. And so just as that deer we talk about is searching for that water, the nurturing of life. And even though David wrote this some 2,000 years before our Lord came, Jesus always says, "I speak of the things that I hear from my Father, and I see and I do the things that I have seen him do." And he relates to himself here in Matthew that he is living water. Physiologically, we understand we can go days without food, but it's a very short period that we can go without water. And in Texas heat, we figure that out real quick, right? We spent some time working outside yesterday. Wasn't too bad early in the morning. But along about noon, 1 o'clock, she sure got hot. And we were out there, you remember, Russell and I were doing some yard work together, and we were tag-teaming it, thought we'd get her done. And, I mean, the heat began to bear down. And I thought about this as I was working. I thought, you know, the deer lives outside in the heat and all of the elements, and he begins to have that thirst. Now, we was on the back side of the property, back up to the shops where the refrigerator is. It has all the water. And I thought, man, I got to make that walk. It seems like that walk got longer and longer and longer until I finally got there and got the water, you know, and in the shop there's that big Master Blaster fan that we got going. And unfortunately, some part of the morning there wasn't a lot of breeze at all. And how good it felt to have the cold water go in and yet be there where that breeze of that fan was. How satisfying it was. How it gave a comfort. And then I look for what David writes here in this scripture, and he says, why is my soul? Where is God? Why is my soul so downtrodden and weary? He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And he begins to pray there in verse 6. He says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. We suddenly realize that nothing will take away what we're enduring or going through except the power of the living water. As good as physically that cold water tasted and the cool breeze felt, it can never satisfy the way He can satisfy us from within. But without all that living water going in, nothing can come out, even in our bodies. We understand physiologically, if we don't replenish that water, then we don't cool off and we end up with a heat stroke of where our bodies don't sweat anymore and we can't eliminate any of the water because it's not there. Now think about it. You know, the trials and tribulations that you and I go through every day, and each one has them at some point. And I often begin to ask myself, how in the world would you or myself, depending on what the situation is, that we look at that and think, how can people make it without the Lord in their life? And that's one of the reasons we see so much of the depression that takes place. The thousands, the millions of pills that are given to relieve depression. And I often wonder, those who are on those depression pills and all, what is the relationship? Is the depression because basically, as an analogy, they're like the deer, they're searching for something that will give water to their spirit. We understand that our old bodies they're corruptible. Look around the room, most of us are older. BC made a comment a while ago, said, I wished I had as much energy as them little kids. Well, there's a time that BC ran around just like them little kids. And he just like me. My mind still thinks I can. My body says, you better think again, boy. Okay? Like I said, we did a lot of yard work yesterday. Didn't mind doing it. This morning when I got up, we did a lot of yard work yesterday. It take a little bit to sit on the side of the bed and to stretch and get things motivated just where you can stand up. But our bodies do give out. But the soul is everlasting. The soul lives forever, especially when you and I feed it with living water. Here, David, in the midst of this, cries out. He says that he will remember the God. You know, it is those hard times that you and I go through that actually exercises and grows our faith. Many a time I think of and come up with a situation of what do I say, whether it's in my own life or I'm trying to help someone else, and we think about what can I say? And I very quickly comes to mind, the Spirit brings those things. Here's the troubles. Here's the things that have gone on before. And who got you through that? Who gave you the words to say? Who fixed the problem that you couldn't fix? None other but God Himself. And so David calls back here in verse 7. He says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfall. And what is he saying there? You see, if you and I have not had that exercise of faith, you and I have not had the time when we had to rely on God completely, that it was totally out of our hands, then we don't have that deep relationship. See, that depth comes from the fact that we have experienced that He is faithful. We have experienced that only He can answer those things. Scripture tells us, when things are impossible by man, all things yet are still possible by God. We've seen that through the prayer and the time in this church. When we prayed for people, the doctors say, there is no hope, there's nothing else we can do, and yet, there they are. What a comfort that is. So deep calls unto deep. He says, all of your waves and billows have gone over me. He didn't say your waves and your billows have pushed me and swept me away. He says, I see all of this coming, and yet it continually goes over me. It passes, and I'm not hurt. I'm remembering, and that's exactly what he's doing, is remembering the times that God has brought him out of those angry waves and those billows. Verse 8 says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Finally, in the midst of that storm, we can find peace. Whatever your battle is that you're going through, there is peace if you seek it. Now, how do we seek and get close to him to have that peace? Well, there's two ways you build any relationship. That's spending time with the one you want to build the relationship. Jimmy and Mildred in here are celebrating 68 years. You know, and although we laughed when I asked Jimmy that last week, I said, did you renew the contract? He said, it's too late to turn back now. You think about that for a minute. He said, we've already built a life together. We've been through the good times. We've been through the hard times. And we'll go through them again. He said, but it's too late to turn back now. We've been through too much together. If you spend much time with them too, you'll find out that they answer each other's questions for each other. You can ask Jimmy a question, Mildred will answer. You ask Mildred a question, Jimmy will answer. Sometimes he gets smacked for the answer, but he'll answer, okay? That's part of the growing. It never ceases, right, Jimmy? Still learning, aren't you? Yeah. We all are. But the relationship, think about that for a minute. 68 years. And they're still newbies to some, because there's those that have been well over 70 plus years. But it's the relationship that has grown. Spending of time with each other. No greater relationship than you and I can have with our Lord, but we must spend time with Him. From reading in His Word or talking to Him about everything. We talk about in here that we bring prayer and praise, thanking Him for what He's done. But we also understand that we can come to Him with prayers about anything. Said many a time, if you're interested in it, He's interested in it. He wants to be a part of your life and everything. Some folks say, really? Y'all pray for horses and you've prayed over motorcycles? Sure do. And I've seen a lot of people pray when they lose something. Lord, help me find whatever it is you're hunting for. You know? And sometimes you'll go over the same place 14 times and don't see it. And that 15th time, there it is. And you go, man, there's no way this could have been here the whole time. I would have seen it. Same thing in reading His Word. We can read certain parts of His Word over and over again, and suddenly that one day, there's something new there that we capture. And we think, wow, that's just what I needed, Lord. That is just what I needed at the right time. It's an adventure in which it goes. I'm going to brag on that old gal up there. You know, so we split. But as I said, it got real hot. And I had some things I still need to accomplish with work. So about 1 o'clock, 1:30 when it got hot, I said she had gone in to get her something to eat, make sure her sugar level was good. A little bit, I come in there, and she said, just come in to cool off. And I said, nope, I come in here to be here the next few hours. Because I got to thinking out there in the hot sun. Said, thank you, Lord. Finally made my brain engage. Got enough water behind it. Well, I've done all this morning. Let's just stop and go in there and work on the computer while in the heat of the day. And about 6 o'clock, 6:30 tonight, we'll come back and finish. That's the way to work it. So I went in there and did my thing. About 6:30, went back outside. Going to still mow the place. I will not complain about the mowing. I'm thankful for all the rain that made all the grass and the weeds grow up, okay? So I start mowing. we're here in a minute. We got two mowers. One's a very large one, one's a small one. Guess what I see? I see that little gal on the other mower. And we begin to tag team it. And what normally would take several hours to mow the area we had to mow, we're done very quickly. Now, I'll admit there was a point where we were in the same spot, you know, and so she decides to race to see if she can get to the intersection before I do. So I yielded, being that she was out there. But you know what? There wasn't a point where I asked her to come do that. And I say that because there's so many times that we're in the midst of whatever it is we're doing, we forget to ask for His help. But yet we see it when it comes. Y'all know how it is on a mower. You don't hear a whole lot because you see all the motors going and everything. And I'm busy concentrating on what I'm doing. And then suddenly out of the corner of my eye, I see her over on that little blue mower. Well, dang, ain't that sweet of her? Thank you, Lord, for a helpmate. But you see, that's spending time with one another. David ends here and he says, he talks about how downtrodden he is, and he comes in 10. He said it previously, but I'll look at the very last of verse 10. He says, they say, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? You often hear that question. You look around this world, you see what's going on, and why would God, where is God? Why would God allow these things to happen? I can't answer that. All I can tell you is, He is sovereign. He knows what is best. And because of that relationship and what I've seen Him do in my life and in the life of others, I have to trust Him that He knows exactly what to do. Thank goodness He knows what to do, because I don't. He finishes it up, and again in verse 11, He says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why you disquieted within me? And then He answers it. He says, hope in God. Let God take control and handle it. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. He's always there for you. He's just a prayer away. Jesus said it another way. He said in Matthew, He said, you have not because you ask not. Surprise yourself every now and then when you're kind of run up against a brick wall and ask the Lord to take that wall down. You'll be surprised how either the wall comes down or there's an alternate path around the wall. He always knows the way. That longing for that loving. See, God loves us more than what we can ever understand. But you and I should have that longing for the loving just as that deer that will run miles. And yet, that's counterintuitive, right? The deer is thirsty, so he will travel miles looking for that water. But he knows if he doesn't have that water, he'll die. And the same is true for us. Without him, we die internally. And we will be dead in a place called hell for all of eternity. Internally, we pass and we die without His nourishment. We know that we have been blessed with the fact to have wells around here. And I watch some of these hay fields, especially out there at Pontotoc, where they got real good wells. And they'll water that hay, and it grows. Yeah, okay. It's green when everything else is dead in a normal July. But ain't nothing turn it all green as what rain comes from heaven. It's overnight. While we were having them showers every day, I'd go out in the backyard and I would look, especially at them weeds, because every day they grew another foot, and then they grew another foot. Didn't have to have but a quarter inch of rain, and they growed another foot. The nourishment that comes from Him. So I encourage you, when you're low and without, you think nobody's there, as you hit the low points here as David did, But always have your soul come back and remember, I know where that living water is. If you're here today and don't know Him personally, your life is chaotic, your life is a mess. If you really want peace, you'll never have the peace nor the joy from external sources coming in. It's like well water. Oh, there's times it feels real good, and there's times we're on a high. But overall, we're depressed within. The countenance, as David proclaims here, he said, my countenance and my soul is disquieted. Can't feel at ease. Come to know that living water. That one who says, my burden is light. I will give you my peace, my joy. When you really concentrate on that verse, you think about where Jesus was, knowing that impending was coming, a trial, a beating, a crucifixion, and even death. And yet He speaks of my peace, my joy. Even looking at those things, He had a peace about it. Why? Because He trusted in the Father. The promises of the Father, just as David here speaks of. As David came to those points of looking to get close, you and I have the opportunity of the Spirit of God Himself living within us by Jesus Christ. We don't have to look far. We don't have to do certain feasts or anything else. You and I have the privilege of calling out any point in time, any place. There's never a busy signal. There's never a voicemail. And there's never not a return call or an answer to prayer. God answers each and every one of them. I'll close with this out of James chapter 4. In growing to the deep gives deep. James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God in verse 8, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, normally we wouldn't want to hear about double-minded. But double-minded is we live in this world. It's easy to come and praise God when you come to church on Sunday morning with other believers. But we don't live here all week long. We live out in the world. It runs amok, it has chaos, and evil abounds. That's the world we have to live in. And there's times where we find ourselves, even at the best, we partake in some of those things. We can't be a part of both. Jesus says, if you come unto me and you keep your eyes on me and focus to me, you will, as the first of seven says, if you submit to me, you'll be able to resist the devil. One of the greatest things that I find the power of when we see evil right in front of us, we know it's the old devil that's haunting us, is you know he has to flee at the name of Jesus Christ. You and I can proclaim his name and order him in the name of Jesus to leave. And he's got to go. He has to go. He cannot stand before that name. Draw near to Him, and He draws near to you. Invite you to bow your head, close your eyes, I'm done. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. No greater decision will you make. You will be the person without Him, as we use the analogy of the water that's always dying internally and striving and thirsting for living water. He is that living water. Old devil's going to tell you a lot of times, oh, you got all these things you've done. Well, I got news for you. The Lord was right there when you done them. He doesn't care. He says, you come unto me and I'll forgive everything. Preacher, you don't know what some of those, there again, don't matter. There is nothing He will not forgive when you give your life to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been known the Lord for a good while, yet you've come to that point where all the troubles of life have seemed to separate and you haven't had that daily countenance and that daily communion with Him, He's still right there. All you got to do is call upon His name. He desires to be in each one of us. He desires to be a part of everything in our lives. You lose nothing, but you gain everything. There is not a single thing you cannot overcome when you have that peace and that love and that joy and keep your eyes focused on Him. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Him. Whatever the case may be, this moment, this invitation is for you to come to know Him or simply to become closer to Him as we pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask You today to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to be my Lord and Savior all of my life, even into eternity. Scripture tells us it is with the mouth that man confesses, but it is with the heart that he believes. Not of his head. There's many a folk that believe there is some type of God out there. That's a head knowledge. It's about the heart. We serve a God of the heart. He says, I will give you a new heart. And therefore, He gives us a new life from within. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and ask Jesus Christ into your life today for the first time and you believe in Him, I'm going to ask you simply slip your hand up and back down for a moment. Just want to pray for you and with you. That's all.